We're privileged to read more from the Holy Scriptures this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 2, the story about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and then the preaching of Peter and the fruit of that. So let's read Acts 2, 1 to 4, and then we pick it up at verse 22 to 42. Hear the word of the Lord from Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven or divided tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then you know how it led to Peter preaching, and we're going to verse 22 in the middle of his sermon. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So far the reading of God's holy inspired word. May just the reading of scripture be a blessing to us. The text is especially verse 37. About them being pricked in their hearts. You want to think about the wonder of being pricked in the heart. Let's first call upon the Lord in prayer. Let me just make this one announcement. I was asked to remind the youth that there are only 2 more weeks before the final registration for the Barakiah Youth Camp. And we want to just recommend that to you. Let's call on the Lord in prayer. Almighty and most holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed be thy name. And we come, Lord, to worship you, this day, we may gather here together to magnify the name of the one, only, true God. The God who created the universe. The God who takes care of the universe since its creation. And the God who has, in mercy, sent His only begotten Son into this world of sin and misery to seek and to save sinners like us. Lord, what a privilege it is that we may, on this first day of a new week, come together to worship You. Oh, help us to delight in this blessing, to see it as such a privilege and such an honor that we may come into the house of the Lord and be under the word of the Lord and be among the people of the Lord, to be led in the way of the Lord. Who are we that we should be so favored? May we see it as truly a blessing undeserved, and may we be thankful for this privilege. Lord, we give thanks for traveling mercies, even coming here today. We give thanks for sparing us in the week past. We give thanks for the freedom of worship that we may have. None of us anticipated that the police would be there locking the doors and not allowing us to come in. None of us expect that some terrorist group will come in and attack us. We are so blessed, Lord, with many privileges. Help us not to take them for granted. We give thanks, O Lord, that we may be ministered to by the law of God, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray that reading the law may not just be a boring ritual for us, but every time again, an act of worship, that we may humble ourselves before Your holy will, Your perfect will. Lord, all of us must confess many sins and shortcomings, having read again the law of God. Lord, we pray, show us our sins. Show us our sinfulness, that none of us can live with it, but that we seek the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning especially, we pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is the one sent from the Father and the Son to minister the gospel to sinners' hearts by pricking sinners, O Lord, and by pricking Your people. Oh, we pray, as we speak about this, that they were pricked in their hearts. We pray for that divine pricking, even among us today. Maybe for a first time, or else afresh. Oh, Lord, please minister among us by the Holy Spirit. As we remember today with thanksgiving the Feast of Pentecost and Your faithfulness to the promise that You would send the Holy Spirit, may we treasure God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May we each realize our need, not only of what God has done for us, but what God does in us. Lord, please lead us and teach us and guide us and help us through the ministry of the Word here today. We pray for those with heavy hearts, those with burdens and struggles in their lives, which maybe others are not aware of. Lord, You know what lives in our hearts. You know what goes on in our lives. Oh, remember us in mercy and minister to us as the divine Holy Spirit who knows all things and who groans with Thy people here below. Oh, Lord, please be with us, we pray. We ask, remember the youth, the children. Bless them as they grow up in covenant homes. Oh, as they are from early years familiar with the Bible and with the gospel, please, Lord, drive it home to them. Prick their hearts at a young age that they too need the Lord Jesus more than anything else. Oh, we pray for that for all of us, whether younger or older. We pray that the beauty and sufficiency of Jesus Christ may be again proclaimed this day, that all of us are drawn to Him. Oh, Lord, hear our prayer. We ask, Lord, for those who are widows and widowers, will You be their comforter? Will You be their strength? Will You be their helper, Lord? Also, when some days are so lonely and so hard to go through, will You help them with the promises of Your Word? Will You bless them with Your presence near them day and night? Lord, we pray for those who are dealing with sickness and frailty of the body and mind. We think in particular of Sister Gerda Grisnick, Lord, remember her and help her and her needs. Lord, as she, as far as we know, is coming close to the end of life's journey. Oh Lord, it hasn't been an easy time for her in this life. But oh, as we know, her hope is in Thee. May she have comfort as she awaits the time of her last breath, and make her transition from this life to be smooth, Lord, to the new life to come. Oh, be near her and her daughter in this time, Lord. Comfort them and help them in every way, we pray. May also her dying be a testimony of Your grace and power in life and death for all who trust in Thee. Lord, we pray for the pastor of this congregation and the consistory of this church, a large congregation, many needs and cares. Oh, give strength in shepherding the flock. Who is sufficient for this holy task? Lord, give all that's needed to be faithful ambassadors of Christ. Especially Pastor Murdoch, Lord, we give thanks for his many gifts, and we pray, strengthen him that he may continue to labor here and bless the ministry of the Word as he studies and prays, that the Word preached also from his lips may be a means in the hands of the Holy Spirit for the conversion of many sinners, for the upbuilding of thy people, and for the blessing of the congregation as a whole in the calling to be a light in this dark world. We give thanks for the synod meetings of this past week, for traveling mercies for all the delegates. We give thanks, Lord. We have prayed for more students for the ministry, and another student has been given, and at the same time a student could graduate and become a candidate at this past synod, and churches may call him, and we know that there are vacancies, and we praise Thee, Lord, that Thou art working to fill these vacancies. And we pray, grant us more men, for the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few. Oh Lord, please bless also our churches in the ministry of the Word while it's yet the day of grace. We pray for Your blessing on Reverend Young J. Lee, as that work too has been approved by the Synod in the New York area, a community of millions and millions of peoples. Oh Lord, will You help Young J. Lee in bringing the Word there, and will You give strength to those who help him in that work. And we pray that it may be a ministry where sinners are saved, and even where a church may be planted by Your Holy Spirit and gracious providence. Lord, we ask so many things. We deserve nothing. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Savior who was crucified, who died, but who rose again, and who is ascended at the right hand, and who is working now to minister His gospel to the ends of the earth through the Holy Spirit and through the church. Oh Lord, bless us as we may be under His ministry here together this day, and help us in all our needs. We are empty vessels in ourselves. Please supply us and strengthen us and prick us by Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing all of the stanza. In this sermon, beloved congregation belonging to Christ, I wish to speak with you about being pricked. No doubt all of you, even when children, will know what it means to be pricked. Pricked in a certain sense. It could be from a needle. Who likes that? None of us. Or from a thorn bush. Or it could be from a sliver. It would be abnormal for any one of us never to have experienced something sharp pricking to our skin at some point, in some way, in our lives. This morning, however, the sermon is not about being pricked in the skin just, but it's about being pricked in your heart. We read about this happening when the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven, sent from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus, who was ascended to heaven, you know, as a fruit of His finished work. Before His crucifixion already, on the day Jesus ascended to, the crucified and risen Savior had promised He would send His Holy Spirit from heaven above, as a third person of the Trinity, to make known and to apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to sinners' lives and for His people all their lifetime. And just as Jesus promised, so of course it happened. And suddenly, on Pentecost Sunday, which was the Old Testament feast of the harvest, The Holy Spirit came down from heaven in an almighty and most powerful way. And as Acts 2 tells us, many wonderful things happened that day. Yes, and one of the great wonders of that day was this. Namely, what is described in our text, Acts 2:37. People, even many people, were pricked in their hearts. Oh, can you imagine this? Not just being pricked in the hand or in the shoulder or elsewhere on your body, but pricked to deep inside your heart even. In this sermon, let's think about this wonder when the Holy Spirit was poured out from heaven. May God bless His word among us, that we not only hear now about the wonder of having our hearts pricked, but that we experience it ourselves. The theme for the sermon is the wonder of being pricked in the heart. Will you consider this with me, noticing five reasons at least why this is such a great wonder. The first reason is this. It was a supernatural act. Supernatural. When the hearts of 3,000 people altogether that day were pricked, that was a supernatural, divine act of God in each and every case. And to see this, just think with me, what does it mean that the people were pricked in their hearts, each one? You know, of course, it doesn't mean that they were pricked or stabbed in their physical heart. No, the word heart here refers to the person's innermost being, to their soul, their conscience, their center and core of their being. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, we read, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Proverbs 4, 23 urges, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart, congregation, is the center of our being, spiritually speaking, and affecting the whole of our life in every way. And now what our text says, what does our text say happened on that first Pentecost Sunday long ago? It tells us that many people were pricked and pierced in their heart to the very core of their being. Other translations of the text read, they were cut to the heart. They were pierced in the heart. The word literally means stabbed. Peter's words convicted them deeply. And their consciences were awakened. They were pricked under the preaching of the gospel. Pricked in their hearts under Holy Spirit power and blessing. In other words, beloved, the people were not just lightly affected in their hearts, but they were impacted. They were smitten. They were stabbed in their conscience and soul, in their innermost being. And they couldn't any longer just shake off what they were hearing, as we can so easily do all too often. Isn't it true? But that word stuck. It penetrated. It registered. That word worked its way in their mind and heart that they couldn't come out from under it anymore. No, it weighed upon them. It stirred them. It broke them. And they continued under the impression of it. Being pricked in the heart means they recognized the absolute truthfulness of what they heard. And they became overwhelmed with what they heard. As Peter tells them, you were the murderers of the Lord Jesus. They couldn't get away from that convicting word. It kept having an effect on them, even to their innermost of their being. And they couldn't just go on anymore in the state and condition they were in. They were convicted by the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you know this blessing under the preached word here in Monarch FRC? The people were pricked in their heart. I say this was a great wonder, for that is something so supernatural when this happens. When that happened on the first Pentecost Sunday, as told in Acts 2, and whenever it happens, we must always say it is the work of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an almighty God, and He can reach you in your heart and trick you and awaken you and convict you in a way that no one else can do. No one of us as human beings is able to do this, really, to get at a person's heart. To reach into the innermost conscience and heart and to bring about a radical change there, only God can do that. Yes, we are able to affect people's minds somewhat, and we can sometimes stir up the emotions of people, but to get at your heart, to get at your heart in such a way that you have changed your heart and be given a new heart, so to speak, that we cannot do. Only God can do that. Only God. And you see, this is the gospel of Pentecost, congregation. The delightful gospel of Pentecost. God the Holy Spirit has been sent from God the Father and from God the Son, the Savior of sinners, to do exactly this. To work in people's hearts with the Word of God, convincing and convicting people of sin and righteousness and judgment. God the Holy Spirit, praise God, He's a heart specialist. And when the Holy Spirit works, now with the gospel word, in an almighty way, in an almighty way and power, as He did on that first Pentecost Sunday, oh, then hearts are pricked and convicted and changed to the core. And that word strikes home as never before. Congregation, it's our calling, again and again, to pray for this working of the Holy Spirit in our minds and hearts, and in the people's hearts and lives all around us. Do we do that? Did you do that today? Nothing but God's gracious supernatural activity will bring about the true Christian regeneration and repentance and revival and reformation that is so desperately needed in our hearts and lives, and in our families, and in our churches, and in this whole wide world. Do you realize this as well? In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3b, the apostle says, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. The people in Jerusalem before Pentecost, before the Spirit's outpouring on that great Harvest Sunday, they never paid attention to the gospel message about Jesus Christ as only Savior of sinners. But when the Holy Spirit accompanied that message, not just to the ears of the people, but right down into their hearts, the result was the people were pricked in their hearts. And they began to pay full attention to God's gospel word and could not do otherwise. How wonderful when this happens. They were pricked in their heart. This was a great wonder. For always, it is a supernatural, gracious act of God, the Holy Spirit, when that happens. Oh, may it happen here among us today. Yes, in all our hearts. Even in and during this worship service. What a miracle of grace that would be. And to see this more, let's go to a second reason that makes us say it's such a great wonder when people are pricked in their hearts under the Word of God. It's such a wonder, secondly, when you consider the sinful heart of man by nature that gets pricked and pierced. Man by nature, the Bible teaches us, has a heart which is dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. This means not only are our hearts, yours and mine, of itself ignorant against the truth and concerning the truth of God, but we are of ourselves also totally resistant against the truth of God's Word. Maybe this is where you are at yourself, even right now. By nature, there is rebellion. There is resistance in us. There is disinterest and defiance against the penetrating truth of God's Word. In your heart and mind, you and I, of ourselves, we don't want to hear God's Word. Even now you may be sitting in the pew, totally disinterested. You refuse truly to listen to it. Indeed, you and I, by nature, we harden ourselves against God's Word as fallen, depraved sinners. The Bible describes our hearts by nature even as hearts of stone. Hearts of stone. For the people in Jerusalem who heard Peter preach, that was true of them as well, as they were in themselves. Though religious, their minds were blinded by sin, and their hearts were hearts of stone. Cold, dead, resistant against any prickings and piercing truths from God's Word. Can you imagine trying to prick a stone and to get anywhere? You'll break the needle every time. Yet behold, they were pricked in their hearts, the text tells us. Do you see the great wonder our text is telling us then? Who can prick and penetrate the heart of man, let alone the stony, hard-hearted heart of man? The gospel tidings are, praise God, God can! God can! Yes, God the Holy Spirit, as sent by the Father and the Son. He can! And He does! It's His specialty, beloved, and His delight. Yes, to prick stony, hard-hearted hearts, to change them to hearts of flesh. That is, to hearts convicted and broken-hearted before and under His Word. In Ezekiel 11, verse 19 to 20, the prophet spoke God's Word, promising way back then already about God's Word regarding His saved people, quote, "And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take that stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them an heart of flesh." That is, a soft heart and a born-again heart. "That they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Congregation, you see, the Holy Spirit has this almighty regenerating power, and He exercises it using the Word in accordance with God's sovereign good pleasure. God the Holy Spirit can and does perform this miracle of pricking hearts and causing sinners to be born again, yes, even still today. Does anyone here among us complain about his or her cold, hard, rebellious heart before God and His Word? Is your heart stiff? Hard? Bring it to Jesus, the Savior of sinners, and ask Him for His Spirit to work in your heart too. The Lord Jesus told us before He ascended that if we ask for the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, God will surely give Him to us. Luke 11:13, Jesus promised, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Oh, what an invitation from the Savior of sinners. You and I may come to God, confessing to Him, "Oh Lord, there's so much coldness and deadness and unbelief and sin in my heart. There's so much rebellion and resistance against Thee, the one only true God. Please forgive me and work in my heart. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Breathe on me, O breath of God. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true." Do you ever pray that way to God? Will you pray this prayer today in light of Pentecost? God knows how you are responding to His Word, even as it is preached right now. Will you have God to prick you and to uncover to you your sins and your sinfulness? Will you ask Him to remove your stony heart by nature and to give you a new heart that receives and believes all God's Word and the only Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners? Will you ask Him to keep you as a Christian from getting your heart calloused and cold, but that it be warm and soft, receptive to the Word? We may pray for this. We may pray for this also as confessing Christians, for ourselves and also for our loved ones. Who of us doesn't have loved ones who have turned away from the truth, who are not yet saved? The Acts 2 scripture passage about the Spirit pricking the hearts of many under the preached Word so encourages us, doesn't it, in reference to our still hard-hearted, stiff-necked, unrepentant loved ones, yet resisting God's Word and rebellious against the only Gospel of Jesus Christ in their hearts. Listen, with the Lord is supernatural power to change sinful hearts. Praise God! Think of how many sinners steeped in false religions and sinful worldly ways God has already miraculously changed and brought to true conversion under the Word. Think of Lydia hearing Paul preach, and we read in Acts 16, and the Lord opened her heart as she heard the Word preached. As long as our loved ones still live, or any unsaved friends and people whom you and I know, bring them to the Lord, to the throne of grace, and ask for God, the Holy Spirit, to work in their hearts through His Word. To bring them under the Word, and to have them broken by the Word. Sinful people on Pentecost Sunday, as recorded in Acts 2, and ever since throughout history, have been pricked in the heart by the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. This was and is and remains a great wonder. A great wonder, yes, because it's such a supernatural act of God and taking place in the sinful heart of man. And a third reason why we can say it's such a great wonder too, whenever someone is pricked in the heart by the Holy Spirit, is indeed the simple means by which the Holy Spirit uses to prick the hearts of sinners. The simple means. On the day of Pentecost, what happened? As we read in Acts 2, it was simple men, fisherman Peter, simply preaching the Word. It was the simple gospel message of the Old and New Testament that they preached. And it is that congregation which the Holy Spirit used just to prick the hearts of the hearers. The sword of the Spirit, says Paul in Ephesians 6 verse 17, is the Word of God. When you read through Peter's sermon in Acts 2, it is striking how much he quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Joel, and from the Psalms, and from other places as well. The apostle preached Christ to the people as revealed in all God's Word. He brought the Scriptures and so preached Christ. Peter showed the people from the Word of God, being filled with and guided by the Holy Spirit, how that Jesus of Nazareth was and is the Christ, the promised Messiah, and that He is now ascended to heaven, but He's coming again for His final and eternal judgment. Peter preached the Gospel Word, declaring to the people that Jesus is the Passover Lamb of God, who suffered and died in the place of sinners as our substitute. Yes, as Peter later says in 1 Peter 3:18, Christ Jesus came as the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, making a way for sinners to be reconciled and restored to God, to God's favor, through the shedding of His blood and giving His life on sinners' behalf. Peter preached this word. In Ecclesiastes 8 verse 4 we read, where the word of a king is, there is power. Peter preached the word of the King of Kings, and where the word of the King of Kings is, blessed by the Holy Spirit, there is power. Didn't the disciples make clear in their preaching the gospel that Jesus only is the one God-sent Savior of sinners? Neither is there salvation in any other, they proclaimed. So we read Peter saying in Acts 4 verse 12. And while Jesus suffered and was crucified, even yet God made him, Peter makes clear, both Lord and Christ through his perfect sacrifice, even to the death of the cross on behalf of sinners like us. Peter preached Jesus to the people, driving home their wickedness in what they have done to Jesus. And yet how God in infinite mercy and love for sinners overruled it all in his amazing grace to save sinners like us. In Acts 5 verse 30 to 32, Peter declares thus, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." You can't miss it, can you, dear congregation? Reading the early chapters of Acts, how Peter and the disciples preached Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior of sinners. And how he is most gracious and glorious to all who come to him. Peter preached that from the Word. So we read as part of Peter's Pentecost sermon, the gospel message and the free offer of the gospel proclaimed as stated also in Acts 2, 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord as revealed in Jesus Christ shall be saved." And now think of it with me. As Peter and the disciples preached the simple word of God, the result was, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, the people were pricked in their hearts. The Bible teaches in many passages that the word of God is the simple means whereby hearts are truly pricked. Just the Bible. Therefore, it's good and important, congregation, always to come under the Word of God and to have that Word brought to you and to have it brought to others. When you truly understand our text, you don't skip church easily. Today, I hear more and more of people skipping church easily, doing all kinds of other things, and maybe listening to a sermon on sermon audio while they're doing it and thinking that's all okay. No, God reveals himself, especially in his church, under the ministry of the Word. There's where he's pleased to work in a special way. And we do sin when we easily and carelessly skip church to do our own thing. The Spirit-inspired author of the book of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13, that the Word of God is an instrument in God's hands by His Spirit, by which God pricks sinners with penetrating and unmistakable, piercing and life-transforming effect. We read in those verses, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful," meaning it's living, it's vibrant, it's pulsating. It's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, cutting through and making a division even of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Beloved, the instrument God uses to convict and convert sinners and to build up his people is his holy word. The Spirit works so searchingly and minutely and powerfully by the word so that you can't escape from it. The Bible, open and proclaimed to us by the Spirit, is God's chosen divine instrument to awaken sinners and to prick us effectually, both initially and continually, a whole life long. And how this truth needs to be reaffirmed and held on to also very much in our times. People and churches today want to focus on music and on drama and on so-called miracles and on special gifted speakers and on entertainment acts to get at people's hearts and to bring conversion and changed lives. But God chose this simple means of the preached word. Some other religions of the world want to focus on the use of splendor or mystery or ritual or ceremonies or force even. But God has this spiritual means, simply the proclamation of His word, by which He, through His Spirit, will work to prick sinners to conviction of sin and to lead sinners to Jesus and the precious and only comfort of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. God help us as churches and as church members, and especially as ministers and elders and deacons, that we uphold the ministry of the Word as the main task always of the Christian church. I think about it. On my way here, I was thinking how this church has been really blessed under the ministry of Belonga and Meyer and Schumann and Moerdijk. You've been blessed. Have you been pricked with your blessings? They were pricked in the heart. This was a great wonder, for it was a supernatural act of God, the Holy Spirit, that took place in simple, stony hearts, and that by the simple means of preaching of the gospel, by simple and weak, sinful men in themselves. In this way, God added to the church 3,000 people that blessed Pentecost Sunday long ago, as told in Acts chapter 2. This brings me to our fourth reason, to mention why we can consider it a great wonder that people's hearts were pricked. I've already touched on it, but it bears a separate mention. And that is the saving purposes intended with the pricking of their hearts. Normally, at least if you're like me, we don't think of being pricked as something so wonderful. No. But if you think of the saving purposes for which God the Spirit pricks the hearts of sinners, oh, then you come to see that it is something amazing. It's most blessed to be pricked in the heart by the Word of God. Just like we don't usually like needles either, how thankful we can be when they are properly used by doctors and nurses for our good. Are the needles that we have as children too, even, are they not medical instruments that prick us, yes, but to relieve us from pain or to help us get over some sickness? Needles can be used for our healing. And surely that's the case spiritually here. As beneficial as the prick of a needle may be for our bodies, much more beneficial to us is it when the Lord, by His Word and Spirit, pricks us in our hearts. Here, think just of the saving result of those 3,000 people, at least, that had their hearts pricked with the Word of God, hearing Peter's Pentecost sermon. Oh, the people saw their sins and their sinfulness for what it was and is. They saw themselves as they truly were before God, corrupt, guilty, depraved, eternally condemnable sinners before God, without excuse for their sins. And they became anxious for their souls, earnest in regards to eternity. They began to cry, "What must we do to be saved?" They were urgent in regards to their salvation. We are told they cried out to Peter, yes, and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they meant, what shall we do to be saved? How can we escape from under God's just wrath for all our wickedness and rebellion from God? How healthy to ask that question in your life and to be given the answer that the gospel gives us. And the text passage tells us, doesn't it, further, how the apostles told the people to find their refuge in and with Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. Oh, with Him, there's remission of sins. Even your sin of crucifying the Christ. They can find forgiveness for it all from out of Christ's saving work on the cross, in His life and death on sinners' behalf. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, we read in 1 John 1, verse 9. You see how being pricked in their hearts at First Pentecost Sunday was to the end that they might seek and find Jesus. And when you find Him, you find everything you need. The Spirit pricked the hearts of those people that they might realize their terrible heart condition by nature and seek for healing with God the Savior, the great physician of body and soul in life and death for time and eternity. Oh, and the full gospel is, isn't it? You know it. That Jesus Himself was pricked and pierced in His soul, bearing the sins of many as sin bearer. And that with no sin of His own, but willingly paying the punishment for sin in the sinner's place. And you know, He was literally pierced, even physically, wasn't He? With spikes nailed to His hands and His feet. And then when He crucified on Golgotha with that soldier's spear, piercing a gaping gash in Jesus' side. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. This is the gospel message of God's Word, which the preaching of the Holy Spirit wants to drive home to us, that we find our refuge with this Savior once and again all our lifetime. Being pricked by His Word is a most merciful act of God, the Holy Spirit, then. Do you see that with me? God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and He pricks the hearts of sinners, convicting each one of sin, for to lead sinners like us in true repentance and faith to the Savior, not just once, but over and over again, till our last breath. Well, are you one here today who can say, the Lord in His grace and mercy has pricked your sinful heart by His Word and Spirit? Have you been awakened? Have you been cut to the heart about what a lost, guilty, betrayed, defiled sinner you are in yourself? Do you look to Christ Jesus alone and call out to Him for your only refuge and escape from your sins and sinfulness and from the judgment of God that you deserve left to yourself? Do you confess too that you know no other escape nor precious remedy from our sins and condemnation is there to be found than that what is freely offered to us in and through the gospel of Jesus Christ? Jesus tells us in John 16 that it is the Holy Spirit's focus and delight to take of the treasures of Christ and His redeeming work and to show that to us. So also the Holy Spirit is described by Jesus Himself as the Comforter. The Comforter. The people on Pentecost were pricked in their hearts by God's Spirit and Word that they might come to Jesus and glory in Him in repentance and faith and rejoice in and with Him as most wonderful, all-sufficient Savior in all our needs for body and soul, in life and death, and for all eternity. Isn't it most sweet and wonderful gospel that the Spirit's purpose in pricking our hearts is to have us find shelter under Jesus' wings, so to speak? We may be God's dear children forever under His favor and love and care and keeping when found in Christ and belonging to Him as our only Savior and Lord. If you or I are not pricked by God's Word and Spirit, and not believing in Christ and trusting and following Him, we remain in our sins and under God's just wrath. And if we so die, we will go to hell as the only place we deserve to be forever. But God, congregation, is yet out to prick hearts with His Word and by His Spirit. Oh, that every one of us knows about having our hearts pricked in the way the 3,000 on that first Pentecost Sunday experienced it. Yes, for a fifth reason to mention, yet the wonder of being pricked in the heart, as our text speaks about it, is the fact that being effectually and internally pricked in our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the Word, you know what? It results in people, by God's grace, living how? Living sanctified, thankful lives in service to God as living members of His church, living for His praise and for our neighbor's well-being. We see that in the rest of the book, of the chapter of Acts 2. How when the Spirit of God touched the people's hearts and they repented and believed in the Lord Jesus and they confessed Him, they then continued living in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They lived in service and dedication to God. They were living members of the church, and they themselves became instruments in spreading the gospel word that more people might have their hearts pricked and brought to Jesus. How wonderful is that? We don't come to church just always to say the same. We come to church, Lord, prick my heart. Save me and renew me and make me all out for Thee in my life, in my family, in my church, in my community, in my work, in everything I do. Saintly, Savior-like behavior and conduct in your thoughts, words, and deeds. Does that characterize your heart and your life too, by God's grace? If we are members of the Christian church but don't mind to live unholily and ungodly, we don't care about living lawless, sinful lives still, while we prove thereby that we are not yet truly saved and that we have not been pricked by the Word, by the Holy Spirit. God's true people are a people who hate sin and who seek to live in repentance and faith every day, and who desire to live in obedience to the Lord and in fellowship with Him and His people. And the church that is not something indifferent to you, but something you love and you want to be actively involved in. Then you are sorry on a daily basis for your many sins and shortcomings still. And then with David in Psalm 119, you pray regularly for God's quickening, reviving, renewing, pricking work in His ways. Oh, David experienced the pricking of the Holy Spirit under the Word when Nathan came to him. For 9 months he lived in indifference to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, God sent Nathan and he preached the Word. And when Nathan said, "You are the man," David broke under the pricking of the Holy Spirit. And David learned to pray, didn't he? "Oh God, be so merciful to me, a sinner. Your child by God's grace. In Jesus' name I pray." Well, does such prayer make sense to you here this morning? Whoever you be, whatever your age, and however you have lived, the people were pricked in their hearts. This great wonder happened on that first Pentecost Sunday, as told us in Acts 2. And congregation, it needs to happen again and again and again for all who will be saved and who will stay saved. Will you too pray for this gracious, glorious, pricking work of God by His Holy Spirit and Word then? Not just for ourselves, each one, but for many more in our families and in our world around us. Oh, triune God, that none of us be left here with hearts unpricked even today. Indeed, that's Psalter 141 now. Be our amen, our response to this sermon, a prayer. Lord, prick me too, and lead me in the way everlasting by Your Word and Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 141, let's sing in response.